Okay, good evening, everybody. Okay, we will be on lesson number 10. Lesson number 10 this evening. I appreciate Pastor filling for me last week, because this is then part two of what we started, what was started in the lesson last week on the stream of the Spirit. That was basically talking about the first four of the fruits of the Spirit, so we're going to be continuing that. On that topic again this week and finishing that off. And this is our study on living beyond your capacity, on kind of a study of the Holy Spirit and then his ministry and what he does in our lives. And so now we've kind of looked at some background and not a lot of the lessons beforehand, and now it's getting to the Spirit-filled life and the fruit of that. So that's, again, kind of where the stream of the Spirit heading kind of comes from here. So let me get that hooked up, and then we will go ahead and pray and get started. Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to just to be in your house this evening. And then as we have the privilege here to be able to open your word and just to see some truths from it, I ask that you just be with us. Please help me as I lead the lesson to facilitate that. And again, but most importantly, as we learn about your Spirit, that your Spirit would be actively working and moving in our hearts and lives this evening. As we look at the stream of the Spirit, or your fruit, the fruit that's evidenced in our lives when we are filled with you. And please just, again, be with us and work on our lives and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, this is lesson number 10. This clicker might not be working. One of our batteries ran out. They might have been running out with all the red bugs running around. And we will improvise if it's the case. Okay. Lesson number 10. So our text verses again, I'm sure they're the same ones from last week, is in Galatians 5. So I'll go ahead and read those. Galatians 5. Verses 22 to 23, again, very familiar verses to all of us here, I'm sure. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and those are the ones that were looked at last week, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, the Holy Spirit would like to transform you into the image of Christ. That's his goal. That's what God's goal for our lives is. So in this lesson, we'll see what that looks like again as we kind of examine those last five fruits or traits of the Spirit here. Again, there's nine of them altogether that are listed here in this passage of some very attractive and virtuous qualities that we all desire. But we can't produce it on our own. The fruit of the Spirit. And it's the display of Christ-like character with sincerity and humility. And it compels us to abide in Christ that the fruit can come from that. So some goals with the lesson this evening is that we just have a basic understanding of those last five qualities in the list there of fruit of the Spirit. Number two, that we would recognize areas where we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit to see his fruit in our lives. And then number three, that it would just give us a hunger to grow in a faithful private walk with Christ. So jumping into our lesson here, the story is told of a man in Tokyo who was arrested because of a series of annoying phone calls. He was upset because he'd been denied entrance into graduate school 14 years earlier. For 14 years, he averaged 10 phone calls a night between the hours of 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. to the professor whom he held responsible for denying his application. Those 14 years of calls totaled to over 50,000 calls, which you kind of wonder why it didn't happen 49,000 calls before that. Anyway, our natural responses are usually wrong, is the moral of that story. Why? Because in our flesh resides the power of sin. We talked about, no, in Romans, no, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, as Paul says. Left to our own, we do not naturally produce the fruit of joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We don't naturally just produce those in our lives. So in the last lesson, you guys looked at the first four traits in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. So again, we'll look at those, the last five here. Should be the easiest points to guess that you've had ever here, okay? So point number one, the Holy Spirit produces gentleness, yes. The Holy Spirit produces gentleness. So when you think of gentleness, no, something that comes to all of our minds right away is mothers. Nope. They have a way of being sympathetic and encouraging when things are rough. They have a way of expressing compassion and comfort. Webster defines gentleness as being generous and kind. Now, if someone interviewed your family and friends, could they describe you as gentle? And as you yield to the Holy Spirit, you'll become a more gentle person by nature. The Apostle Paul stressed the importance of gentleness in his life and ministry. Now, as he ministered to new Christians, he would gently nurture their growth. 1 Thessalonians 2:7 is the first verse there.
But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children.
Yeah, that's the Apostle Paul speaking there to the Thessalonians. Now, Paul was a strong gospel preacher, but he realized the importance of being a compassionate servant. Now, many people have a very distorted view of God, limited only to his wrath. Yes, God hates sin, but he loves people. Isn't that interesting just to think about? He loves people. He's the ultimate expression of love, long-suffering, and gentleness. Because he's the perfect father. And he desires for his perfect qualities to flow from our lives. So there's four kind of things here, four ways that we could see of how to display God's gentleness in our relationships here. And the first one is sensitivity. I don't think there are points on your outline there, but sensitivity is the first one. Now, sensitivity sees and experiences life from the emotions and feelings of others. It considers others and seeks to patiently identify with and understand what they're going through. Next verse there is Philippians 2, verse 4.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
And a lot of these verses are familiar. We know them. But think about them, again, in the context here of the lesson and what we're looking at. Sympathy feels what others feel and acknowledges those feelings. It bears the burden and feels the hurt. It rejoices with those who rejoice and weeps with those who weep, which then goes right into the next verse there, Romans 12, 15.
Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep.
And the third way is straightforwardness. This is an interesting one. Straightforwardness speaks the truth in love. It doesn't avoid uncomfortable conversations, but it seeks to deliver them with kindness and care. It's an interesting one. Proverbs 27, verse 6.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
And then the fourth one, again, keeping in of gentleness, of how to display gentleness in our life, is spontaneity. Spontaneity is thoughtfulness in action. It seeks to express gentleness in small, accessible ways. It's always looking for some way to serve or give care, looking for ways to do that. Galatians 6, verse 10.
As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith.
This is kind of an interesting statement here. You'll either be gentle or grumpy. It's your call. In your natural state, grumpy will usually be the order of the day, especially when things don't go our way. Ever been there? By his Spirit, gentleness will be one of your most attractive qualities. It's an interesting distinction of grumpy and gentleness there. Point number two, the Holy Spirit produces goodness, yes. The Holy Spirit produces goodness. In every relationship, there are toxins or potential elements with destructive capacity. Yet God, through His Spirit, has provided a cleansing agent for restoring vitality in your relationships. That agent is the attribute of goodness. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10.
For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth.
Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
The spiritual fruit of goodness is defined as uprightness of heart, virtue. Virtue equipped and ready at every point. A spirit-filled Christian naturally desires to do good for others. Being good is what you are on the inside. Doing good is what people see on the outside. Galatians 6:10. This one's already been read, but we'll read it again. Galatians 6:10.
As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
In the early church, Christians often faced criticism and slander. No, instead of complaining or quitting, they handled their critics by staying faithful in good works. And the Apostle Peter talked about some of that in 1 Peter 2, verse 12.
Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation.
The most evident goodness is that which continues to patiently bear fruit even through slander and mistreatment. 10 years from now, when you're still doing good, others will know you by your fruit, which is an interesting thing to think about. So number three, the Holy Spirit produces faith. That is correct. Holy Spirit produces faith. There's a short supply of faith and faithfulness in our world today. David Livingstone was a pioneer missionary explorer to Africa. He walked over 29,000 miles seeking to open the interior of the continent to the gospel. A missionary society once wrote to him and asked, "Have you found a good road to where you are? If so, we want to know how to send other men to join you." Livingstone replied, "If you have men who will come only if they know there's a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there's no road at all." In many circumstances, we give up too soon. Commitment is rare, and perseverance almost non-existent. By nature, we choose the path of least resistance. We choose the path that promises immediate gratification. But in God's strength, the right path is always the one that grows in faith and persists in faithfulness. It's the path of no retreat, and it's always the path of greatest reward, though. When yielding to the Holy Spirit, you will grow in faith. And as a result, you will persist with faithfulness in all the right areas of life. The result will be well worth the perseverance. William Carey, often titled the Father of Modern Missions, was a missionary to India in the late 1700s and early 1800s. For over 40 years, he labored through seemingly insurmountable odds. But before he died, he'd seen the scripture translated and printed into 40 languages, established a college, and seen India open her doors for missionaries. And I believe even in the midst of that, had some of his translation work burned in fire in a building. He had to start from scratch again. Carey stated his secret to success simply, "I can plod." Constantly faced with obstacles and difficulties, Carey was persistent and faithful. Now think about that again. I can plod. Just slowly keep going. Keep moving. Your faithfulness as a Christian is of much more value to God than your talents, your abilities, or your skills. And through His Spirit, He offers to make you a person of faith and faithfulness. It's actually interesting. There's in the chapel at close to home on that the stained glass behind the pulpit that's up there. The greatest ability is dependability. It's an interesting statement. It goes along with this as well. Number four, the Holy Spirit produces meekness. Yeah. This is an interesting one here. Jesus prioritized meekness. Matthew 5:5.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
In Matthew 11:29.
Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls.
In His Word, God often refers to us as sheep. Honestly, sheep are among the dumbest, neediest, and most dependent animals in the world. You've probably never heard of a sports team called the Mighty Mighty Sheep, have you? Nope. Secular culture has a significantly different view of self. The natural man is not discovering how to be more meek. He's bent on being more assertive. The voices of secular media reminds us of self-promotion, self-gratification, self-obsession. We live in a very narcissistic day. Against the landscape of magazines like Self, Glamour, Vanity Fair, we're not seeing a lot of publishers fighting for the name Meekness for their magazine. The natural man is opposed to the virtues of humility and meekness. Because you know what the statement is, right? Meekness is, right? Life is all about my rights or my image and looking out for number one. Yet when the Holy Spirit's stream is flowing, He will always grow the fruit of meekness. Meekness is defined as a submissive or a teachable spirit toward God that reveals itself in genuine consideration to others. It's directed first toward God and then toward our fellow man. So let's consider some admonitions of Scripture here to believers concerning meekness. 2 Timothy 2:25.
In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth.
Titus 3:2.
Speak evil of no man, the beaten of Romans, be gentle, showing all meekness and all men.
James 1:21.
Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. Or not, and receive with meekness an engrafted word, which is able to save your souls.
In James 3:13.
Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom.
Many people fail to understand that meekness is not weakness. Meekness is actually strength under control. Power under the influence of restraint. Consider Jesus. He's the perfect example of meekness, and yet He has all power. In His almightiness, interesting word there, He humbled Himself, and with all of the power in the universe, He chose to put it under control so that He could be our Savior. The death of Christ on the cross painted a portrait of what ultimate power under control looks like. Meekness. The display of meekness requires uncommon strength, the sort of strength you can only find in the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Your flesh desires to fly off the handle and speak your mind. Your flesh will compel you to fight for yourself in every situation. But the Holy Spirit of God will produce a different set of responses. This statement here really hit me in the studying here. Meekness is the strength to back away from a fight you could win. That's, yeah, that is a tough one. That argument you know you can win, or the truth that you know is right when the other person, especially if it's clearly written in scripture and that kind of thing, is the ability to handle hurt without overreacting. Again, the strength to back away from a fight you could win. Think about Christ. Could I not call now 12, talk to my father, he called 12 legions of angels. Meekness is the strength to back away from a fight that you could win. Here's a quote from A.W. Tozier here. It says, "The meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. Rather, he may be in his moral life as bold as a lion and strong as Samson, but he's stopped being fooled about himself. He's accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows he's as weak and helpless as God declares him to be, but paradoxically, he knows at the same time that he's in the sight of God of more importance than angels. In himself, nothing. In God, everything. That is his motto." So point five, the last one here of this evening, the Holy Spirit produces temperance. Many problems in life are related to a lack of temperance. We usually excuse indulgence and ignore excesses in our life. But when we submit to the Holy Spirit, he will direct us toward self-control, or better stated, Holy Spirit control. Billy Sunday told of a lady who came to him and rationalized her angry outbursts. "There's nothing wrong with losing my temper," she defended. "I blow up and then it's all over." "So does the shotgun," Sunday replied, "and look at the damage it leaves behind." Paul was careful to maintain discipline in his life. And in 1 Corinthians 9, 23-24, he admonishes us to recognize its importance. Next verse is there.
"And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you.
Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize,
In this passage, Paul compared the Christian life to an athlete running a race, to the Olympian whose life is characterized by discipline and self-control, which is always ironic when you see the Olympians doing the McDonald's commercials. But anyway. Likewise, our high calling in Christ demands a disciplined life. When you yield to the Holy Spirit's power, temperance will show up in three primary areas in our life. Again, I don't think these are on your paper there, but number one is a disciplined physical life. A person filled with the Holy Spirit has the power of God to say no to things that are not best for his mental and physical well-being. Whether it's ordering your life by God's priorities, caring for your body, or expressing financial wisdom and restraint, the power of the Spirit makes a disciplined life possible. Throughout history, whether because of alcohol, lust, or hatred, men and women have acted in indescribable and unthinkable ways because of a lack of the fruit of temperance. Number two is a disciplined speech. Those bearing the fruit of temperance will know what to say and what to refrain from saying. Ephesians 4:29.
"Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto hearers."
Spiritual people are not known for lies or gossip or slander, insult, verbal injury. They don't run their mouths without restraint. They intentionally use their speech for that which is good, encouraging and edifying others. And that third way is a disciplined mind. Temperance is also manifested by controlled thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5.
"Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ."
The word imagination there, as the idea of note, means thoughts or fantasies against the truth of Christ or the revealed will of God. The mind and thoughts of a spirit-controlled man will be distinctly different from the mind of a carnal man. So in conclusion, you are meant to bear fruit, but you can only do so as you grow in the Holy Spirit and walk with Him. This is an interesting illustration here. It says, a number of years ago, the Associated Press released a study done by an agricultural school in Iowa. It reported that production of 100 bushels of corn from 1 acre of land, in addition to the many hours of the farmer's labor, required 4 million pounds of water, 6,800 pounds of oxygen, 5,200 pounds of carbon, 160 pounds of nitrogen, 125 pounds of potassium, 75 pounds of yellow sulfur, and other elements too numerous to list. In addition to these things, which no man can produce, rain and sunshine at the right time are critical. It was estimated that only 5% of the produce of a farm can be attributed to the efforts of man. If we were honest, we'd have to admit that the same is true in producing spiritual fruit. It's the Holy Spirit who produces His fruit through us. Our part is to submit to His leadership and to obey His word. The fruit of the Spirit is, and should be, motivating in two ways. First is, it represents nine very attractive and virtuous qualities that we all desire in our lives. Other people desire to have in you. The fruit is, it's not sensational or self-exalting in any way. Do you think about that? It's not about us. It's a display of Christ-like character with sincerity and humility. And it compels us to abide in Christ so that the fruit can come forth. And then number two, this fruit is evidence of a right relationship with God. The absence of fruit should be convicting because it reveals the lack of a faithful private walk with Christ. Likewise, the fruit of the Spirit can be frustrating in two ways. First, bearing fruit takes time and growth. It's easy to become impatient and wish the process were faster. Second, fruit can't be manufactured artificially. Genuine fruit requires a genuine walk in the Spirit. Trying to produce the fruit apart from the Holy Spirit is frustrating because it's impossible. Have you ever heard the phrase, like father, like son? Children often bear a close resemblance to their parents and grandparents, even in the most subtle of ways. It's entertaining and amazing to see a young child subconsciously pick up on subtleties of their parents. Small gestures, vocal inflections, facial expressions, and physical attributes, especially when they use it back at you. In fact, with a little time spent with a mixed group of families, a discerning mind wouldn't have much trouble putting kids and parents together. Similar traits show up easily. Should be scary. Even so, in the Christian life, the Holy Spirit would like to transform you into the image of Christ. He would like you to bear a striking resemblance to your Heavenly Father. Wouldn't it be awesome if people who knew you were able to discern qualities in your life that reminded them of the character of Christ? Wouldn't it be great to hear, hey, you're a lot like your father, capital F. Think of the apostles, book of Acts. They took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus by how they were acting. Since the Holy Spirit lives in you, His fruit makes it all possible. So that concludes the lesson this evening. And some of the questions here, we'll just go through them. Number one, why are our natural responses usually wrong? Because in our flesh resides the power of sin. Left on our own, we do not naturally produce the fruit of the Spirit. Number two, the quality of gentleness moves us to care for others. And who can you think of, possibly even in your own home, Who needs you to be sensitive to their needs this week? Interesting question. Think about that. Number three, in what ways are you purposefully doing good to others? Number four, is there an area in your life in which you are tempted to give up, but you know you should persevere? What promises of Scripture can you focus on to help you increase your faith and faithfulness? And number five is, do you find yourself with a particular person or in a reoccurring situation in which you find it difficult to display meekness? Which of the verses given in this lesson can you memorize this week to help you respond with meekness? That's an interesting one. Number six, would those who know you well think of you as a disciplined person, displaying the quality of temperance? Of the three areas of temperance that were mentioned in this lesson, which anybody remember what those were?
Physical.
And your speech. And then your mind. Which do you need to work on this week? Probably all of them. All of us. Then question seven is, what godly spirit-filled Christian do you know who exemplifies the fruit of the Spirit and reminds you of your Heavenly Father? Which of the qualities in his or her life are most obvious to you? And a lot of these are answers for yourself. And then question eight here says, the fruit of the Spirit is the result of an abiding walk with Christ. And are you consistently growing in your walk with the Lord? How are you drawing near to him? You can answer that. So what are some ways that we can draw near to him? And his word. About what we're doing right now. In his house. Being attentive to listen and apply what's taught and preached. Then being obedient to him and the daily promptings of his Spirit. Against us, I don't think it's anything that was no newer earth-shattering to us tonight, you know? It's more of just obeying what we know and doing what we know. Anything in particular stand out to anybody?
Can I ask you?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit produces on the first point was sensitivity, kindness, and I missed the other.
Sensitivity, sympathy. Yep, the four ways. Sensitivity was one, sympathy was the second, straightforwardness was three. And then number four was spontaneity. Yep. So that was in kind of four ways to display God's gentleness in our life: sensitivity, sympathy, straightforwardness, and spontaneity. Yep. Anything in particular stand out to anybody? Pastor?
Out, so I don't exclude anybody, but yeah, they're admirable.
One thing particularly stood out to me again was just in that meekness aspect was, you know, meekness is the strength to back away from a fight that you could win. That's hard, because, you know, we always like to be right. We always like to have the last word. But it's meekness is that power under control, under restraint. Think about Moses, who's called the meekest man on the face of the earth. He did slip in that at a time, but you could understand it in his flesh. But how many times he didn't? In there. But the strength to back away from a fight you could win. Anything else? Anybody particularly stood out to you or thought was interesting? Okay. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to have been in your house this evening to have been looking in your word and studying it, and particularly in looking at the fruits of the Spirit, those last five fruits of the Spirit. And again, it's not like it's brand new. We've never heard this stuff before, Lord, but it's of doing what we know and doing the point on faith there with the William Carey example of I can plod, of just that consistent, keep moving forward daily. Talked about in Proverbs, just man falls seven times, but he gets back up again and keeps going. That it's that consistent doing what we need to do, doing what's right, even when we don't feel like it, that helps us grow and helps us evidence these fruits in our lives. And again, I don't think any of us can say that we've arrived or we've figured them out, because we still have our flesh that we have to deal with. You know, all of us have our strengths and weaknesses in these areas, Lord. And again, but just pray that we would have a consistent direction of upward, of higher ground, as the song goes. And I pray that you just be with us as we go to our homes this evening. Keep us safe, and then bring us back together again on Wednesday for, of course, the adult study hour and prayer time, and then for Patch Club. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.